Good morning. Hello, test. Good morning, saints. There you are. Good morning, sinners. We're all here. We can start. 500 years ago, on October 31, an Augustinian monk named Martin Luther invited Christians to consider 95 dangerous ideas, ideas that would change the Christian world. We are remembering and celebrating that this month. Today, we're going to go through 50 of these ideas. Amen? Good, you're with me. Pastor Chris covered one idea last week, so there's only 94 left. We're going to go through 90. Let's say we go through 90 today. How many are in for this? I joke. We're barely scratching the surface of what it means to be people of the Protestant Reformation. So, if you want to go deeper, as you heard Pastor Devo announce in the video that you saw earlier, October 13, next week, next Friday, 7 p.m., here, we will have a lecture by one of our own professors, Catherine Coe. And then in the afternoon, on the 14th, come back for a panel discussion from our Divinity school faculty, who will help us to scratch deeper into what it means to be people of the Reformation. Luther, as one friend texted me this week who is also preaching about the Reformation, Luther, as my friend said, this dude had problems. Yes. His legacy does not lie in the saintliness of his life. He had a lot of vices that sometimes outnumbered his virtues. We talked about this last week a bit with Pastor Chris. But he did give us a legacy. Luther sought to make us more Christian and more biblical. He began with a love for the truth, as he said. He protested and then helped us to reform the church. Remember, protesting means we complain about something. Reforming means we shape it into something new. So it's not enough to protest something. You have to actually reform it too. Are you with me this morning? The reformers, along with Luther, had five what we've come to know as their solas. Sola is a Latin word that means only. Sola Christus, that's easy, Christ alone. Sola gratia, grace alone. Sola fide, faith alone. Sola Deo gloria, to the glory of God alone. But the first of all these solas is sola scriptura, which means the Bible alone. And that's what we're talking about today. Only one of the 95, don't worry, just one. Sola Scriptura. This is the watershed slogan of the Reformation. The reformers were saying, let's go back to Scripture. This was the impulse they had, to go back to Scripture and recover the single authority from which all doctrine in our faith comes from. This is the revelation of God that we've come to trust, the Bible. All church teaching must be submitted to the authority of the Bible. Most theologians of their day believed in other sources of authority for the Christian tradition, and they held them as equal alongside the Bible. So the reformers said, no, we have to go back to sola scriptura. Luther said it this way, what is asserted without the scriptures or proven revelation may be held as an opinion, but need not be believed. I love that. What is asserted without the scriptures or proven revelation may be held as an opinion, but need not be believed. Everything outside the Bible is just an opinion. You can discuss it and we can have fun with it, but it's just an opinion. It is not scripture and is not to be believed. This conviction, this sola scriptura, was the fuel the Reformation needed. Luther, when he was asked to recant, at the end of his great speech that we all have seen in Hollywood movies, we all have read about, ends with this statement. He says, I am bound by the scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not retract anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. I am bound by scriptures, he says. I'm bound by them. He's submitting to the Bible and Bible alone. Sola Scriptura, the Bible alone. Well, for the next couple of minutes, let's talk about three different things. One, what it means, what it doesn't mean, and what we're having for lunch later. Are you with me? All right, good. What it means, what it doesn't mean, and then a concluding point on Sola Scriptura. What it means. It means that the church does not have authority over the Bible. I'm going to go slowly through these because some of you are going to have to process them for a minute. Sola Scriptura means that the church does not have authority over the Bible. Luther's statement was an anti-ecclesiastical statement, is how some fancy words put it. For Luther, the church does not take priority over the Bible. Instead, the church is the creation of the Bible. Acts 2. The Bible gave birth to the church, and the church has always submitted to the authority of the Bible. Luther put it this way: the church is born in the womb of Scripture. For who births their own parent? I love that. The church does not have authority over the Bible. It also means that the church is not the only interpreter of the Bible. The church up to Luther's time was functioning under Augustine's statements on church authority over the Bible. Augustine believed that the exact meaning of Scripture and its correct interpretation was the work of the church and the church only, which usually meant the clergy. I would love for this to be true. If we actually functioned this way, by Monday, I would be driving a Tesla Model S, not the new cheap one, because you would be paying tithe directly to me, to my bank account. Please don't take this out of context and walk out of here saying, the pastor said that if he could, he would steal the tithe. If I could interpret the Bible for you and you were not allowed to read it for yourself or interpret it for yourself, I would make sure that the first pockets that were lined after this church service were mine. I do not like driving that Honda Odyssey, 2002, 220,000 miles. You know how hard it is to drive onto my campus and see kids driving in Camaros? My midlife crisis car is a Honda Odyssey, 2002. That's what I'm driving. Tim, I see you laughing. The church is not the only interpreter of the Bible. If this were true, you would come to church for us to tell you exactly what to believe. But you don't do that. You go home and you check what we say to be true. You read the Bible to confirm that what you're hearing and discussing and you're learning here, even in this church, even from me, from Pastor Chris, from Pastor Devo, Pastor Vaughn, for anyone who stands here with a Bible, you're checking us to make sure what we're saying is true. We don't get to tell you what to believe. We have conversations with you like I'm having today. Also, if you do want to give me a Model S, that's fine too. Sola Scriptura means an individual can read the Bible. You don't need us to help you do that. The Reformation meant you can actually take a Bible home and read it on your own. This is why the great gift of the Reformation was the Bible in our own language, one of the great gifts in our own language is for us to read. Another side sort of project or sort of belief doctrine that emerged from the Reformation is the clarity of Scripture. It is a very distinctly Protestant belief that you and I can go to Scripture, and as Luther put it, those things which are necessary to be known, believed, and observed for salvation are so clearly propounded and open in some place in Scripture that every person, in a due use of the ordinary means, may attain unto a sufficient understanding of them. Meaning, you and I, regardless of our level of education, if we really are diligent, can go to Scripture, and we will find whatever is needed for the knowledge of salvation in Scripture on our own. We believe this to be true. Sola Scriptura, we also believe that it means that when the Bible gets into the hands of the people, things can change. And things have changed. The church banned the reading of the Bible. You're the 9:30 service, so you know this. At 11:30, I'll have to explain it a little more to all the young ones who may not believe this. That in 1200, the Council of Valencia actually put the Bible on a list of banned books. You may not read the Bible. That people would graduate, priests would graduate from divinity programs, they would walk away with degrees about the Bible, having never read the Bible, because it was forbidden for them to read the Bible. That translating the Bible into a language of the common people could result in your death. You would be killed by this. You know this. One of the great gifts of the Reformation is that we can actually take the Bible and read it for ourselves. The Bible in the hands of the people. Ugh, what a change. Imagine that you're one of those people who learned to read and you took a Bible into your hands and you found that God actually loves you, that you don't have to buy some forgiveness, you don't have to actually earn what God has already given us. What if you opened the Bible and you read a text that said something about the priesthood of all believers? Imagine the release and the joy and the comfort that all this would bring you. What does sola scriptura also mean? It means that we are protected from raising creeds, confessions, or any other human document to the level of scripture. We are protected from creeds, confessions, or other human documents, no matter how wonderful they are, or how important they are, or how much we love them, from rising to the level of scripture. We believe in the Bible alone, the Bible alone. Secondly, what does it not mean? What does sola scriptura not mean? It does not mean this, that we don't read anything else. Some of you grew up in environments where you were told you cannot read anything else. The Bible is the only thing. How many of you grew up with the Bible needing to be on top of every book? And if there was a book on top of the Bible, even to this day, you feel like, nah, that's not quite, you've got a, I'm the same way. To this day, I'm. If there's anything on top of the Bible, even if it's a piece of paper, that is not okay. The Bible on top of everything. Why? Because sort of sends the message that we value the Bible, and that's okay. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that, by the way. Don't walk out of here saying, he said we can put anything on top of the Bible. No, did not say that. But that very act of putting the Bible on top of some other books somehow to me sent the message that nothing else could be read or considered or digested or thought about. The Bible is the only book I should read. Sometimes when we hear people say, I believe in the Bible only, the Bible alone, we interpret that to mean I shouldn't be reading anything else. Well, let's just put that to rest. The Reformers did not intend to do away with centuries of reflection and meditation on Scripture. They knew the works of all of our founding fathers and mothers. They knew their writings. They quoted them. Luther never said, get rid of everything that's come before us. The Reformers did not mean for us to get rid of 2,000 years of history, 1,500 years of history. Sometimes we begin our history as a people either in 1517, or in 1844, or in 1863. What's that date for? Anyone know? Wally, I'm looking at you. 1863? The organizing of the Adventist Church formally, I gotcha. Our history did not begin in 1888. It did not begin in 1922 when La Sierra University and this community was kind of formed. It didn't begin when you were born or when you were taught the truths of Scripture. This is a 2,000-year-old faith. People who walked with Jesus gave us their accounts, and we've been wrestling with this for 2,000 years. And everyone who has wrestled with the truth of the Gospels, the truth of Jesus with us, we should read them. We should explore and wrestle with what they've wrestled with. The Reformers were more excavators and innovators. I love how one author put it. They were digging down through layers of belief about Jesus, down to what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. They weren't inventing something new, some new way to believe. They were actually just peeling layers and trying to retain what was good, how we've grown together in our understanding of Jesus. If we ignore 2,000 years of thinking and writing and wrestling with the Bible, we become impoverished people who don't understand our history. What does it not mean, sola scriptura? It means that although we are now privileged and we can take the Bible with us and read it privately, what a gift Gutenberg gave us. What a gift Google has given us. We can take the Bible and read it on our own, and we can interpret it on our own. However, the Reformation didn't say that every Christian is now infallible. Are you with me? Someone should say amen to that. This is kind of important. The Reformation didn't say that every Christian is now infallible, that every private interpretation is correct and is now a norm. Unfortunately, some have used the sola scriptura, the Bible alone, as a justification for a me, God, and the Bible type of individualism, and that's not healthy. That gets us into all kinds of problems. For example, October 22, 1844. Jesus returned into the earth. Someone should have sat around that Bible study with Brother Miller and said, Brother Miller, Jesus also said, no man knows the hour. It also has led us to things like a couple of weeks ago, a student that came to my office who said, there is a planet about to slam into our planet. The earth is about to end. Anyone else hear this one? It was in the news. Okay, one in the back, excellent. Just one person paid attention to this, awesome. We could have all been destroyed and only you would have known about it. These private interpretations lead to scenes like the one I had in my office one day with a student came in to complain about the fact that I had said something about marijuana not being helpful for your health. Student sat in my office, eyes red, clearly I've been smoking the ganja or whatever you choose to call it. And his opening words were, show me in the Bible where smoking pot is prohibited. Here is my response. Are you high right now? His response was, no, I am not. I said, well, show me in the Bible where taking substances that kind of destroy your health is permitted. And he said, you show me in the Bible where pot, ganja, marijuana, whatever you want to call it, I've looked for every word that refers to what I'm enjoying right now, and it's not in the Bible. I asked again, are you high right now? And he said, yes, I am. So, well, you're a liar, first of all, which the Bible clearly says you should not do. That is in the Bible. But second of all, the Bible doesn't have to say that marijuana is bad for you. The Bible doesn't have to say that sticking toothpicks in your eyeball is also bad for you, or that sprinkling arsenic on your cereal in the morning is bad for you. There are lots of things the Bible is not going to say. But we together, a community of believers, gather and we bring all our private interpretations and we discuss them together. We wrestle together. And once we've done that, we've come to our beliefs. We have 28 of them. These come by through great pain and trouble and discussing and voting. I have been to those committees. They begin with an argument about an article, the, brothers and sisters, I call question on the article, the. Should we begin with the or a? There is great danger in assuming that just because we have the Bible and we can take it to a corner by ourselves, that makes us infallible or every person an interpreter of Scripture and the final authority on Scripture. We are part of a great community, and our faith is communal. And the impulse, the Western individualism impulse, has to be resisted by the people of God. Let's come together and wrestle together with what the Bible means. Finally, today I leave you with this thought. What does it not mean and what does it mean? Well, in moments like these, Like this last week, we had this absolute heartbreak of news you woke up to on Monday morning. Some of you may have seen the news on Sunday night as it was taking place. We, people of faith, turn to the Bible. At some point on Monday, you may have also uttered the words that I did. You may have thought them, you may have said them, you may have prayed them, but at some point we all turn to the words of Scripture that bring hope when things are really dark, which gives evidence to what we find the most authoritative, comforting source of revelation of God with us in the world. And that is the Bible. We go to the words we trust, the words we believe have authority, the words that can fill us with hope and comfort and consolation. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We go to the words of Isaiah, who says, I will say to the north one day, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who's called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and have made. We go to the words we trust as Jesus is hanging on the cross, the crucified God, crucified because of our violent tendencies, dying on the cross, uttering words of comfort and hope. Father, forgive them, forgive them. We go to the words of John, the Revelator, the follower of Jesus, who finishes our holy book, the Holy Scriptures, by saying he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.